Well, once again, happy Mother's Day to you moms that are out there, whether you're with us in-house today or whether you're joining with us online. As you notice that we are down one mother in the building. She is in Minnesota with her babies, so that's a good thing. We were able to go and celebrate the graduation of Megan, our youngest, and so we're celebrating. We're done. That school thing, all that's done, and so we're excited about that. And so we told Lynn, you know what, spend a little bit of time with the girls, and so they're getting the joy and the privilege to be able to do that. And so today we want to celebrate our moms, and again, just a reminder that you heard earlier that for our moms, there's a gift on the back. Be sure to grab that as you are walking out today. It's this special day. And you kind of, I'm going to put a deep thought on you right from the get-go. This is a very important day because without mothers, we wouldn't be here. Very deep, I know. It's your mind's spinning from that one, isn't it? Yeah, you know, it really is kind of sad that we have to make a day out of the year, one day out of the year, where we are going to celebrate moms, those who gave themselves so selflessly to raising us as children. But you know, it's an opportunity for us. Don't get to enjoy it today with my wife. Don't get to enjoy it with my folks or with my mom. But we celebrate them anyways. And actually, we're going to go see them in just a few weeks. To be able to celebrate some with my folks as well. So that'll be fun. But Mother's Day is important. And really, you know, moms taught us a lot of things. A lot of things that were important, a lot of things that really weren't important. But they taught us the English language was probably one of those things that you heard. For example, one word that we were taught was the word anticipation. Wait until your father gets home. You might have heard that one. Another word was medical science. They taught us about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to stick that way, right? Did anybody else hear that? I heard that one. Becoming an adult. They told us about becoming an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you will never grow up. I really did not like vegetables as a kid. I guess it shows out to be true sometimes. Genetics, they taught us about genetics. You're just like your father. Did you ever hear that one? I heard that one. Although it was in a good way most of the time. Justice, they told us about justice. You know, I never understood this until I became an adult. But we heard the line, one day you'll have kids and I hope they turn out just like you. They taught us about religion. You better pray that doesn't stain the carpet. They taught us about osmosis. This one always got me. Shut your mouth and eat your food. I guess there's a way. Contortionism. We were even taught about contortionism. Look at the dirt on the back of your neck. Has anybody been able to see that? I was never able to see it. Weather. They taught us about the weather systems. It looks as if a tornado swept through your room. Every mom has said that, right? Every mom has said that to their kid. And of course, they have taught us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world. I can take you out. Today we want to give thanks to God for our mothers. I once heard that anyone can be a mother, but the reality is that only very few make godly moms. This morning I want to share with you something that I can say the Lord has blessed me with, and I'm very thankful that in my life I had a very godly mother who was there every step of the way. I had a godly mother-in-law that when I was married, she did a wonderful job, and today I can say that our children have a godly mother themselves. I've been blessed in that way, and I know that I've been blessed in that way. And one of the things that we see is in Scripture a system or a process of a godly mother, and we find it in Proverbs 31. This portion is usually called the wife of noble character, but in this passage we read a lot about the mother of noble character. It's not just about the wife, it's about the mother of noble character. And as we look through this, I want to see four things that a godly mother does. And in the process, we want to accomplish two things this morning. One thing is I want to say thank you to our moms for all that they have done for our godly mothers. And the second thing is to thank the Lord for those and to spur our godly moms on to continuing. But we find our passage in Proverbs chapter 31, starting at verse 10, and I'm going to invite you to go there with me. The wife of noble character, or the mother of noble character. This is what it says. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets out about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. What a beautiful picture of a godly wife and a godly mother in this case, as we're talking about today. But I'm sure that as we were going through that, all of you moms went, that sounds very tiring. There's a lot that is incorporated in that. But as we look at this, really, we can kind of say there are four things that godly moms do for their family. The first one is a godly mom adds value to their family. I like those first verses that say a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband is full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Godly woman is more valuable than rubies. Several years back, I was listening to K-Love. I don't know if you've heard that radio station, but it's kind of one of those nationwide radio stations. But they were talking about mothers one day, and they were actually talking about the market value of a mother if she were to be paid. Now, moms, this is the time where you're going to go home today and you're going to go pay up. Because one of the things that they said, and this was a few years back, so it would be higher than this, you know, because all that's happened with inflation and everything else. But at the point in time, they said, a mother, if she were to be paid the market value for all that she does today, she would be making at least $131,000 to $135,000 annually. Now moms are going, where's that money? They said, look at all of the things that are included in my mom's job description. She's the animal caretaker. She's the financial manager of the household. She is the food and beverage service worker. She's the general office clerk. She's the child care worker, housekeeper, psychologist, bus driver, dietitian, property manager, social worker, and recreation worker. A lot of people, that's only, they take one of those jobs and get paid. Moms have to do all of that at some point in time in their lives. It's quite a list. And I can say that as a child, I mean, did any of us really truly grasp the magnitude of what moms did? I don't think we did. We just wanted to be sure that we had the food in front of our face as we were growing up and that everything was being done. But now as we grow up, moms especially, you're beginning to get this idea of the job of being mom is a high calling. The position of motherhood is one that goes beyond anything else, and it is a position that is truly to be honored. Now, dads, if you're sitting there going, come on, what about me? Your day comes next month. But this is one of the things that we understand. That a wife or a mother of noble character is a rare gem to find. We recently had gone through the video series called Love and Respect. And it talks about how a husband loves his wife and the wife respects her husband. And when we do these things well, it really impacts positively the marriage and the growth of the marriage. And as we were going through this, we saw practical ways as husbands how to love our wives, how to love the mothers of our children, because they are truly a gift from God. He uses the terms often that the spouse is a good-willed person that we met, that we married. But guys, do we understand that the mother of our children is a gift to be treasured from God? They are worthy more than rubies. Now, moms, understand that this is not a position that is automatically deserving of the value. Notice that we're talking this morning, and this is the mother of noble character. This is about a godly mom. A godly mom adds value not only to herself, but to her family. Notice all of the things that mom did to help the family. In those passages, a lot of what mom does is not for mom alone, it is for the family. She makes sure that they're dressed, she makes sure that they're fed, she makes sure that the affairs of the household are in order. All of these things are done so that her children can be cared for and her husband can be respected at the city gates. That is a godly mom, one who will add value to their home. We see another one in here. It says that godly moms have godly influences in the home. Godly moms have a godly influence. If you are a mom in a home, you have incredible power to influence the lives of your children, even if they are still adults. A lot of times we think, well, once they're 18, they're out of our hair, they're doing their own thing. No, moms, you have the opportunity always to influence. But when your children are young, you have this incredible opportunity. In 1950s, there was what was called home economics in school. Anybody take home economics? Remember that? And they tried to tell you how to live in a house. It was kind of fun. Some of them, they would give them like a baby that they'd have to take home and practice with this baby that would cry in the middle of the night. Or, you know, you'd learn how to cook. Or basically for the guys, it was like, here's a toaster. Here's how you make a piece of toast. But one of the things in the home economics book, this is what they said was the position of the mom in the home. Number one, have dinner ready. Plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious meal on the table on time. This is a way of letting your husband know that you have been thinking about him and are concerned for his needs. Already the women are going, right. We're going to McDonald's. Number two, prepare yourself. Take 15 minutes of rest so that you will be refreshed when your husband arrives. Touch up your makeup. Put a ribbon in your hair and be fresh looking. He has just been with a lot of work-weary people. Be joyous and a little more interesting. His boring day may need a lift. Huh? Number three, clear away clutter. Make one last trip through the main part of the house just before your husband arrives, gathering up school books, toys, papers, etc. Run a dishcloth over the tables. Your husband will feel he has reached a haven of rest and order, and it will give you a lift too. Number four. There's a few of these. Prepare the children. Take a few minutes to wash the children's hands and faces. If they're small, comb their hair, and if necessary, change their clothes. They're little treasures, and he would like to see them playing the part. I remember this. Your dad's coming home. Get outside. Go play. Go do something. Number five, minimize the noise. Were you ever in a house with boys? At the time of his arrival, eliminate all noise of washer, dryer, dishwasher, or vacuum. Try to encourage the children to be quiet. Be happy to see him. Wow. Number six, don't greet him with problems or complaints. Don't complain if he's late for dinner, even though you're supposed to have it on time. Count this a minor compared with what he might have gone through during the day. Number seven, make him comfortable. Have him lean back in a comfortable chair or suggest he lie down in the bedroom. Have a cool or warm drink ready for him. Offer to take off his shoes. Speak in a low, soft, soothing, pleasant voice. Allow him to relax and unwind. Number eight, listen to him. You may have a dozen things to tell him, but the moment of his arrival is not the time. Let him talk first. And in most cases, there's nothing to be said. Number nine, make the evening his. Never complain if he does not take you out to dinner or to other places of entertainment. Instead, try to understand his world of strain and pressure and his need to be home and relax. And number 10, the goal. Try to make your home a place of peace and order where your husband can feel refreshed. In the world in which we live today, there was no way that this would take place. We have the whole idea of, you know, the world that we live in, equal rights, we got to have that. And honestly, it's a change in culture. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's just different. It's where we are today. But if we were to say to a woman today, this is your responsibility, what would you do? I'm going to McDonald's. It wouldn't happen. It's the way we are. However, understand the point in which they were trying to bring in at that time. Moms, you have an opportunity to impact the home. What you do is important. More importantly than just being able to make a relaxing home, which would be okay, whatever, but most importantly is you have the opportunity to have a spiritual, godly influence on your home. We see this actually within Scripture. In 2 Timothy 1:15, Paul says to Timothy, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. Do you see the process of influence? Grandma influenced mom, mom influenced son. This is what happened. Now, the sad part of this is we don't see the father influence. We do know, according to Scripture, that Timothy's father was a Greek, so he had a little bit of a different belief system. So Eunice and grandma, they made sure that Timothy heard the truth of the Word of God. It is important, moms, that godly moms influence in godly ways in their homes. This is what verse 28 says of the Proverbs 38 woman of noble character. It says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Mothers that have the ability to influence their children will make an impact on their children, and their children will notice it. But you have the opportunity. You know, there's been studies that have come around, and one of the things that they found, is that men will most likely marry women like their mothers. Did you know that? We will tend to, why? Because our moms hopefully, the positive influence have remained on us, and that is something that we want. Now, understand that when I went to Crown College, I didn't go through the halls looking at the girls that were there going, okay, she's got to be 5'2". She's got to be, too tall. Can't do that. Nope, too mousy. Can't do that. I didn't go through looking at individuals in that way. However, when I step back and I look at my wife of today, I go, there's a lot of similarities between my wife and my mom in very good ways. Why? Because mom had a great impact. The second thing that they found in studies is that women will most likely run their home or do the same things as their mom did. Now, if you look in your home's moms, do you look at it and go, yeah, there's actually a lot of things that I do that are very similar to the way that my mom did it? It's funny because sometimes they'll go, no, I run my house completely different. Everything is completely different. Well, no, not necessarily. It is fun to watch how things change over the years, but we begin to see where the ways that moms impacted our lives are the ways in which we impact the lives of our children as well. Remove the mother from the home, and the home is going to fall apart rather quickly, because her influence is so important in the home. Godly mothers have godly influence in their homes. Godly mothers give encouraging words. This is another thing that we can kind of see interspersed throughout the Proverbs 31 woman of noble character. But in verse 26, it says, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. We've had a couple of dogs over the years, and we have now Mikkel, who lives with us. She has a dog, Parker, and Parker's a great dog. And, you always learn as a dog comes into the house how to manage the dog. And several years ago, when we were trying to figure out how to be dog people, I was watching some videos, and one of the things that came across was when you're training a dog, you need to train with positive reinforcement, not negative reinforcement. They said negative reinforcement doesn't necessarily work on a dog. Well, there's times that I would beg to differ on that one, but really his point was you will see them wanting to please you quicker with the positive responses. I really struggled with that one because when the dog would have an accident on the carpet, the last thing I wanted to do was say, good job, here's a snack for you. I wanted to kick the dog outside and say, you're out here the rest of the day. But they said positive reinforcement is such a thing that a dog will want to learn faster to gain more positive reinforcement. Negative reinforcement only causes the dog to want to be backing away from you. And I thought, wow, that's a very interesting thing. What about children? What does this say about how we raise our children? In Proverbs 22:6, one of the verses that we use with children's dedication, it says, train a child in the way in which he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. When we have the positive godly influence on our children and we encourage them with encouraging words, what ends up happening is it has a positive impact on our lives. Let me tell you exactly how this worked. Growing up in our family, I was the youngest of the family. I was the runt of the litter, and I was the one that constantly felt like I was trying to live up to the expectations of two older brothers. They were smart. Both of them had incredible minds. They basically walked through school with no problems and got like a 4.0, and they went to college, they were engineers, both of them graduated just either with a 4.0 or just below a 4.0 or maybe even better than a 4.0, but they were just smart. They were both athletic. They could both play sports, and it was just natural to them. And so I felt like I was constantly trying to catch up and to be what they were. I went to college, and as you've heard my story before, one of the things that I thought was, in order to be able to be like them, I need to go into the same field that they're going into. They went into engineering, computer programming, all of these things, and I failed miserably at it. I couldn't do it. I would call my one brother probably every other night, and I'm like, Kirk, I don't get this. What's going on? I don't understand the process of this computer stuff, the language I'm not getting. And he's like, Pete, have you even gotten the first part of this? And I'm like, no, I haven't even gotten the first part of it. And all of a sudden, I'll never forget, my mom comes to me, and she could have destroyed me in those times. She could have told me, yeah, you're not as smart as your brothers. You'll survive. She could have gone all kinds of different things, but I remember when she sat me down and her words were simply along this line. Pete, God didn't create you to be your brothers. He didn't create you to do the things that your brothers do. Have you ever considered that God created you to do something different? I see in you things, talents, traits, characteristics that your brothers don't have. And I would say today I'm in ministry because of my mom. Now my wife had a good part in it too, but it was my mom that sat there and said, Pete, have you ever considered this? This is how I believe that God has gifted you. In a moment where she could have destroyed me because I wasn't as good as my brothers, she showed me that God had a different plan. Godly mothers have encouraging words. Oh, if we would only have the words of Dorothy Law Nolte's work on our walls. Children learn what they live. Listen to these words. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. Mothers, encourage your children not just to be the best, but to be what God created them to be. Because whether you know it or not, your kids listen to what you say and your words very closely. But the fourth thing that godly mothers do is intertwine throughout the whole Proverbs 31, woman of noble character. And that is, a godly mother makes prayer a priority. This is so important. As a matter of fact, when we look at Scripture again, we would see where there are mothers who more than likely, they were prayer warriors for their children. They didn't just encourage them, they didn't just set the example, but they were prayer warriors for their children. We think of Hannah, Samuel's mother, as she prayed Samuel into existence. Eunice, again, the mother of Timothy. Mary, the mother of Jesus. The list could go on of mothers who had incredible impacts and more than likely were women of incredible prayer. But one of the greatest examples for me is obviously my mother. I'll never forget on my 30th birthday that for my birthday she gave me a Bible. And she said, I know it's a Bible, it might not seem all that exciting, but she said, I also give you this with it, and it was a journal. And she said, Pete, for the last year I've been reading this Bible in my devotions, and I have been filling in this journal with my thoughts and my prayers for you. And over that next year, what a blessing it was for me to be able to open up, and I would read something in the Bible and I could see an underlining or a note on the side where it would say, you know, I prayed this for you today. Or I would open up the journal and I would begin to read where she would say on this day, whatever the day was, and she would say, I read this passage today and it reminded me that this is what I pray for you, that God would do this in your life. And I thought there was no greater gift that I could have received on that birthday than that Bible and those words of encouragement within a journal. Mom, if you want to impress and just put upon your children the blessing of God, can I encourage you? Would you do that for your children? Take time, read, pray for them, and let them know that you do. Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." Abraham Lincoln knew the power of a godly praying mother. I could have been raised in a home where I could have been given everything, anything, and all of the right things here and there. But if I did not have a praying mom, I know I would not be where I am today. You as moms have an incredible job of raising your children in today's culture. Lynn and I have often said, we pray for our girls because they're going to have to raise children in a world that we never had to deal with. They're going to have to deal with things that we didn't even see coming. And they're going to need the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And they need to be young women of prayer for their families. And it brings to mind Mark 11, 22 through 24. Moms, here's encouragement. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Moms, you're raising your children in tough, tough times. And prayer is that avenue by which God can work in the lives of your children. Now, I know that there are moms today who are saying, I have been praying for years for my children, and it seems to be falling on dead ears. Can I encourage you with those words? Whatever you believe in prayer, you will receive it, and it will be yours. Pray. Godly mothers are praying mothers. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we want to celebrate you well. And we want to challenge you with these words that you have an opportunity to be a godly mom from today on. A mother who brings value to your family. That you can be a godly mom that brings godly influence into your homes. That your words can be encouraging to your family. And your prayers will lift them up. Today is a day that we want to truly honor godly mothers. My prayer for you is that today, moms, you would hear those words from your children as they say, that they would rise up and call you blessed, and your husband as well. So as we close, we want to bless our moms. And I'm going to simply ask you this, would you stand even with us now? And here's the thing. Moms deserve over $135,000 annually. But you know what they'll take? A hand holding theirs, an arm around their shoulder, a child around their waist. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our moms. We thank you for all that they do, the selfless serving that they have done. As we stand today, we see moms who have probably given more than we could even imagine. To think of the opportunities that moms have had to pass on. to think of the things that they could have done with their lives. And yet they know that their calling was to be a mom who would influence the home for the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate our moms today and as our families stand around our mothers, would you bless them today? Would you lift them up today and encourage them, reminding them that all that they have done has not been a labor in vain, but that everything has been done to accomplish the purpose for which you have placed them into that family. And Lord, would you exalt them today? Thank you for our godly moms. Thank you for those moms who invested spiritually in our lives. We know that the statement that if it wasn't for mom, we wouldn't be here is kind of a weird statement. But the truth is without godly moms, maybe we wouldn't be where we are today. Father, we thank you for the work that you have done in their lives on our behalf. You are worthy of all of the praise and all of the honor. And we give our moms to you as a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.